All right.
That's the right button. Yeah, you know the button to turn it off.
It's the square one right there.
Okay. Square like me. Oh, yeah. Praise God. It is a blessing to be, again, here. I have missed standing there. I've missed preaching. I told my wife last night, I know it's only been a week of not doing it. She reminded me that means 2 weeks. All right? I don't know what it is. When I don't do this, I feel this huge hollow on the inside of me. I woe is me if I do not preach, right? And so, but praise God, God raised up men when I was incapacitated and I could not. There's men here that we can trust with the gospel of Jesus Christ and lay it firmly in their hand and their lap, and they will proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. And I'm going to thank the Spirit of God that dwells in those men who stand the gap. Amen. I don't want to praise the guys, but I do want to praise the God that is inside of those guys. Amen. Let me thank you for it. As you know, we've been talking about the church, what it means to be the church. And there's a realness. What God has called us to do. And if you are born again, believing in Christ Jesus, firm in your salvation, then you are a new creature in Him. And praise God for that, because my old creature is not worth anything. But on the inside of that old creature is the creature that you see now. The Creator of the creature who made all of creation has set His spirit, His thoughts, His motivation inside of the broken to make them whole. We are living stones being conformed into the image of Christ. So in that being conformed in the image of Christ, I should have certain attributes.
Well, let's go!
Certain attributes in my life, certain pillars that I can look back to in my life to always come back to reassure my standing on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. And any time I get outside of those parameters, I need to go back to where the first level mark was shot, which is the cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus again. So in this, we've drawn up this diagram. You've seen it for several weeks, and you will see it for several more. But first thing you need to know is the salvation, that you are born again. If you don't know that you're born again, I can show you some scriptures. And well, actually, it's not even, forgive me as I say this, it's not so much the scriptures, but it's the calling of the Father that illuminates the scriptures that you can read. Amen? Amen? Because this is a spiritual book. It's a spiritual understanding. It's coming to God not with the knowledge that I can read words, but with the indwelling power of God that can translate those words into a real reality inside of the darkness that lives within us all. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. You didn't have to get better. You had to get God. Amen? So salvation. Once I'm saved, God drives me to pray. Not just any kind of prayer. Well, it starts out with any kind of prayer. God is good. God is great. God is good. I pray this food don't taste like wood. Right? Those kind of prayers. But then there comes those deep prayers. God, I am living outside of your will, and I need adjustment. Can you show me the narrow path that will lead me back into righteousness? Amen. So we start with baby prayers, and then we get deeper into the death of my flesh and the indwelling of the righteousness of God. And then we start seeing those things. And as we pray for those prayers of death of my flesh, then God will guide us through the scriptures, studying the Word of God. And He says, this is righteousness. This is you. Something has got to change. Either you believe in me and you adjust your will, your life to my way, my will, the real life, or you live in your own sin and you die in your own sin. But if you will draw close to me through the study proclaiming of the word through prayer that I will draw close to you, says the Lord. So that starts making another pillar in your life, and you start standing, you start understanding. Start understanding that fellowship is necessary. We need each other. I do not need the things of this world, because from what I've found out, this world is a lie. Everything in this world is a lie. And when that came to my mind, you know, this crazy. Well, if that's a lie, where is truth? Well, I find truth as the Holy Spirit's living in you, Tom, as the Holy Spirit's living in you, Doug, and you, Bonnie, and as I see the Holy Spirit working in you, Wendy, it's the Word of God. That this is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Right?
The truth and the way.
Light and the way. And no man goes to the Father. No man gets into the Father except through or by me, Christ said. So that fellowship draws us closer to that. We need one another because everything else is a lie. I know that truth lives in you because Jesus is the truth. And he said, I will send the Comforter, the one just like me, to dwell inside of you. And we will make our abode in you. Right? So we understand that. And then the witness is more than just handing out tracts and telling people about Jesus. It's witnessing. But the witness of Jesus Christ is that the prayer life is changing me, the study of God's Word is changing me, the fellowship of the believers is changing me, and that change that the world sees is Christ living through me to the lost.
Amen.
I am a witness of Jesus Christ. When they see me, they see a resurrected person from the sin that they used to have to the righteousness that they're being called to. Praise God, I have not made it. I don't know about y'all, but there's... Well, what's that kid's song? It took him just a week to make the sun, moon and the stars, the sun and Jupiter and Mars. How patient and loving he must be because God's still working on me. 58 years with a hammer and chisel. Well, actually, no, it's like a potter in clay. It's not a hammer and chisel because he's not making me. He's remolding me. He's remolding you. And as that, he's changing us into the image of Christ here on this earth. That's the witness. Then we got into this thing, charity. And really when I started looking at charity, I said, I'm going to blow through this, man. It's so simple. It's just, you know, it's just the love chapter in Corinthians. And then I started looking as the Holy Spirit working through Paul was describing what charity really is. Folks, I don't think that we've learned it properly. And so that's what we're doing for the next several weeks. Because there's 16 aspects of charity. And they are all the attributes of Christ that is available. All right, it's available to the believer. So don't think you can't have these. Because you can have these through Christ who strengthens you. You can have these attributes, not just in your mind, but in your heart, part of your very being. Because you're made in the likeness of the image of God. He died to send you himself to dwell in you, that he can teach you not just what love is, but how love can live in you to influence the rest of the world. And in that, he starts with long-suffering. We talked about that for a couple weeks, and so long-suffering is more than just putting up with somebody. It's loving somebody until the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of them and moves them. And that may take a long time, right? My grandmother loved me, and she probably still does. She's in heaven now, as far as I know, you know. No, I can say my grandmother's in heaven. She trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She brought me to a sweaty little Southern Baptist or a Baptist church in Southern land. I don't think they were Southern Baptists. I think they were more Pentecostal. But anyhow, she prayed for me. You know, she corrected me when I was wrong. When I said dirty words, she stuck soap in my mouth because she loved me and didn't want me to ruin my testimony. And Grandma Fitz had the worst soap. She made it herself. Okay. Right? This wasn't store-bought, something that, Dove. No. This soap was called Love. It could get the dirt out. It could wash out the sin. You know, it definitely changed your attitude about how you talk. Anyhow, but she was long-suffering with me through all those years. She was kind. Amen. And kindness is another attribute of Christ. That we need to be kind to people, especially those in the brotherhood. You know, those who are united. So these things about real charity, living with each other's sin until God does that work in them to make. Even it's not about them. Until God does his work in me. Amen? Until God does his work in you. I need to long suffer with Jim. Not because Jim needs to be made my image, but Jim needs to be made in Christ's image. And I don't know what that's going to take. So I'm going to love him until he gets there. Right? He's already miles ahead of me. He needs to love me until I get there. Right? And that's for each and all of us, that long suffering. And then being kind to one another until they get there. Because we can love each other with long suffering, but I want you to get as good as I am with Jesus right now. And that's a really low mark. Amen. If I want you to get as good as I am, you're still missing the mark. I need to be kind and loving and compassionate until God makes me into his image that I can love you properly. That's why Paul said in Corinthians 12:38, I think. It's just before 13. Where am I? Since I'm running out of my mind, let me go to the scripture real quick. It's a more excellent way. Yeah, I show you a more excellent way. And that is this charity that he starts talking about. Well, today we're in the spot that it says, envieth not, nor vaunteth not, and is not puffed up. So real charity doesn't envy. It isn't braggadocious. And it isn't puffed up with pride. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to get into this next aspect or three things that are, it's kind of like a triangle. They're all kind of the same but different in each of their own ways. Dear Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Father. And I pray that even now, well, first I thank you for the ability to speak. Father, I pray that the words that I say will not ever come out of me, but only through me because of you. Lord, let me speak the oracles of God in the mind of Christ. Keep my flesh, Lord Jesus, down. Remind me, guide me through the Holy Spirit that I can say what you would have the church to hear. Holy Spirit, I pray that you could take the growlings of this individual, Lord, and that you would magnify it through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would touch hearts, that you would convince men of walking righteously and holy and separated for your glory. Father, help us strengthen those things that remain. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in charity and 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to start actually in Psalm 73 talking about envying. But these three concepts of charity, these three attributes, he gives us instructions. The first two is God giving you an ability. Now these next three are things that we need to do. These are discipleship. These are discipline. All right. These next three things we're going to talk about, envying, that is a choice I must make. Alright? I must not envy. I must hold in my mind the righteousness of God that I would not vaunt myself, be braggadocious about myself. I must walk humbly before God that I would not become puffed up. Allowing God, or praising God for Him sending, like he said to Paul, a thorn in the flesh, because of the amount of revelation that he had, that he would not be lifted up. that he wouldn't lift up himself. God gave him this thorn in the flesh that he prayed three times to be released out. And God always said, my grace is sufficient. Stop your whining. I don't know exactly what he was dealing with, but he was dealing with something that was real enough that he sought the Lord for it. And God said, my grace is better than your problems. So don't get highly puffed up in what I've shown you. And we need, as the body, especially as we're doing the deep studies and deep dives that we're doing Sunday morning and Tuesdays and Monday nights, those dives into the Word of God and God's revealing stuff to us, we ought to be really, really careful that we don't get all uppity in our minds that we know something. Because without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, we would know nothing. Anything that we have is because it comes from God. So these three sides of the same triangle. First, we need, in my personal walk, I don't need to envy. I don't need to be braggadocious, vaunteth myself, and I don't need to be lifted by pride. Those are things that I must keep down. How can I keep that down? Only through the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost of God. He's the one who gives me right and wrong. He's the one that makes me keep me on that narrow path. These things, this vaunting is not, or excuse me, the envying is not a new thing. Who here envies? Covetousness is another word for it. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, truly God has been good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolishness when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Then he keeps on talking about the fatness and that all their corruption and how it doesn't seem like nothing bothers them until he gets to verse 17 where he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery place. Thou castest them down into destruction. How they are brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Amen. All right, so we're not supposed to envy the world. We're not supposed to envy Gates because he has more money than Carter has pills. How's that? He has more money than what he can deal with, right? Because he has all of the wants and the desires of this world. But I'll guarantee you this man has an empty and dark and vacant soul. Soros, with all of his wealth, he crumbles nations with his pocketbook. But inside of him is an emptiness, is a void. Because he knows not God. Yep. We're not supposed to be envious of those things. 1 John tells us, love not the world, because if we love the world system, then the love of the Father is not in us. We're not supposed to envy those things that are wicked. And even not even the things that are wicked. I'm not supposed to envy Joshua's 3 acres of land or ever how much he has in his chicken house. Although I would love to have a chicken house and chickens and all that kind of stuff, I am not supposed to envy that. Along with the chicken house and chickens and all that stuff, there's work that goes along with that. I want the chicken house and all the stuff. I don't want the work, you know. So by the grace of God, he breaks me eggs. But I'm not supposed to envy that. Be content with what God has given you. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's lawnmower. You know, not that the wife is a lawnmower, but don't envy those things. I saw it, my neighbor's wife was mowing that lawn. Boy, I was kind of envious there. I'm sorry, because so many fleshly pictures just ran through my mind. We're not supposed to covet those things. I'm supposed to be comfortable in whatever God has given me. Because He loves me. You know why God didn't make me stupid rich? Because I'm stupid enough. I can't handle great wealth. He knew I would become puffed up and I would drive my brand new Ferrari. You know, where everybody could see. See that the world vaunteth all of their things to make the righteous envy what they have. So if I want all of the gifts of this world, then what secular world tells me, then I need to act like the secular world. I need to sing rock and roll music. In fact, if I really want to be popular, I need to, if I want to have the fame of casting crowns, then what I need to do is paint my ceiling black at the church and put on all the rock and roll music and all that, the entrapments of the world. Well, you envy those things. Why does the world, the church look more than the world, that the world looks like the church today? Because the church envied the vaunting of the lost world. And they said, I want to be like them instead of I need to be like Christ in. And when that happened, God said, you want the world? You want to look like the world? I'll let you. You can build great, big, huge mansion buildings and call it a church. You can worship with your 12-string electric guitars and screaming acid vulgarity thing and call it worship. In fact, you can even come to the altar and confess your sin to a God that you made in your own image. If that's what you want, you can do that. You envy that, you want that, you can have it. But it won't never bring you the peace that you need. See, this envying that we're told we're not, if we're really having this attribute of Christ through charity, the real charity, then we're not supposed to envy. It envieth not. Envying is closely related to coveting or being jealous, jealous over something else. Desiring the substance of others, whether it be a possession or a position, a fortune or success or some sort of achievement. See, does the church really believe that what you have is what God wanted you to have? If you really believe that, then you can be content no matter what state you're in. Like right now, it's snowing so bad you can barely see outside. I envy Alabama right now. Their tomatoes are already ripening on the vine. Our souls still, our ground still so frozen you can't stick a pitchfork in.
It's white.
Yeah, it's white and high too. Envying those things, we can joke about it a little bit, but God told us not to desire the things that do not, that God has not given us. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Verse.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 30.
Yeah, come on.
Verse 8. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches.
Yes.
Feed me with the food you prescribe for me.
Amen.
Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God.
Amen. You know, you must have checked that because I got that scripture right here. But that's what you did.
Yeah, I didn't steal the thunder.
No, you did not. Actually, I was moving too slow, and God brought the thunder. And that's how the Holy Spirit works, right? He said, all right, you've been talking on, you kicked this horse one time too many, I'll have somebody in the congregation talk about it, you know. And so, by the grace of God, that, amen. Proverbs chapter 30, you look at that. Don't give me more than what I need. Don't make me so proud because of the abundance. Help me to be content with whatever state I'm in. Help me to be there. Proverbs 30:23 and 17 says, let not your heart envy sinners, But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. In the fear of the Lord, Wednesday night we talked about it. Or actually, God brought our brother here, and he talked about the fear of the Lord. Don't let my heart envy sinners. I should not want what Ozzy Osbourne has. I shouldn't want what, I can't think of any modern. Praise God. Nothing modern. I don't need anything TikTok folks have. You know? TikTok to me is the sound of a clock. A mouse ran out of it. Right? Don't break me back, so. I should not envy what the sinners have in Psalm 73. His foot had almost slipped because he was focusing on the world. He was focusing on the things that the world was having, and it didn't seem like they were having any problems. I mean, really, does it seem like Bill Gates has any problems on the outside? I mean, you look at him, yes. He has the multi-gazillion-dollar house. He's buying all the farmland in the world and all that. Doesn't look like he has any problems. But I'll guarantee you, in quiet time, I'll guarantee you that he is tormented. I have peace. Amen? We have peace because we have a Savior. We have peace because I don't need to look at what he has in this world, his possessions, his wealth.
He can keep it.
He can keep it because I come to the sanctuary of God and I know where they're going. Their destruction is going to come swift. They think they have it all when they actually are grasping at air and nothing. Yeah, they have all the world, all of the value the world can afford. But from what I read in the Word of God, all of this world, the elements thereof are going to melt with a fervent heat. So all they really have is boiling water. Amen. They have nothing. Nothing of any real worth, anyhow. We must learn to be content with what God has for us. Contentment is the absolute opposite of envy and covetousness. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation, your lifestyle, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen? What a great promise. I can be content with what I have. You know why? Because the one who has me has everything. And if I could just trust that what God has given me is enough. It's enough. Wilberforce, right? And, the one who wrote Voice of the Martyrs, what was his name?
He was an English.
Wimbrandt. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, Wimbrandt. Anyhow, I had his first letter, right? That's what I
wrote. The other guy was a great guy.
Yeah. Good guy, but yeah.
He could preach them both.
They both. Those individuals, let me put it that way, they were content. You know why? God was with them. When the one was put into the sewer in the gulags, right? He was content. At least he was left alone where he could pray and he could worship God waist deep in the excrement of guards. But in that excrement, he found Christ was there with him. He was content. I mean, he didn't want to be there, but that's where God had him. God used him mightily. And we think that that's, I could never be content there. See, his contentment wasn't in his location. His contentment was with his God.
Jesus, yeah.
That's where our contentment needs to be, needs to come from. Let your conversation be without covetousness, all right? My lifestyle doesn't need to be coveting. Be content with such as you have. You know, you don't need the newest, latest, biggest, greatest thing. With food, raiment, and shelter, there be content.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for that. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, right? Yeah. You know what it says before that? He talks about food, clothing, and shelter. See, even the Gentiles seek after those things, But what we're supposed to seek after is a right relationship with God. And if we have a right relationship with God, it doesn't matter if I live in the Taj Mahal or I live in a tent. Be content because I have God. I don't need what somebody else has that makes them happy or they think it makes them happy. Again, your substance is not where happiness comes from, right? You're not happy because of the things you have. True joy, true the fruit of the Spirit, true joy, true love, all those things, they don't come from external places. They come from an eternal place, which works on the internal of the individual. So I can be content in a smaller house. I can be content with less. I don't need to have a brand new truck, unless one of y'all want to give me one. But I don't have to have it, right? I don't need those things. For He has said, He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's where our content needs to come from. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Amen? That's the finishing of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. All right, verse 6 that was. The Lord is my helper. Amen. I'm content. God's going to help me. He's going to be with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He has me in the palm of His hand, regardless of what this world has to offer. All I need is Jesus. Amen. And so, when our faith, our hope, and desires are focused on Christ, there is no room for envy or covetousness or jealousy. For with godly contentment is great gain. That's 1 Timothy 6 and 6. And my notes say turn there and read verses 1 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 through 12.
Was it 1 Timothy 1?
1 Timothy 6. Yep. 1 through 12. Oh, yeah. Amen. Let as many servants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Be content with what you got. Amen. That the name of the Lord and His doctrine be not blasphemed. All right. Why do we need to be content? That the Word of God won't be blasphemed. All right. That they won't see the church as a greedy bunch of self-centered individuals. To be content that the Word of God, the doctrines of God wouldn't be blasphemed. And that ye have believing masters, and ye that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful, beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions, and strife of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, revelings, and evil words.
Surmise.
Thank you. Praise God. I'm glad I got a sixth grade education. All y'all are smart. Amen. But look at what he says. If I'm not coveting, if I'm not desiring other things, if I'm honoring God with my life, I need to be not proud of nothing. Now, he is proud knowing that doting about questions and strifes. If you doting or fussing about these things, the things that really don't matter, what does that bring? Envy. Yeah. And we're just told not to envy. If we really have real Christ-likeness in us, we don't envy. I don't need to know what you think you know. All right? We don't need to fuss about those things so much. Why? Because they bring up envy and strife and railings and eating, even evil. Y'all said some submissings?
Surmisings.
Yeah. Okay, perverse disputing of men and corrupt minds and despite of truth, destitute of truth, supposing that they may that gain is godliness, such withdraw myself. Those who say that if you don't have the world's gain, you ain't godly.
Right.
Get away from those people.
Amen.
Wealth and prosperity preachers, get away from those people. Because I'm telling you, the folks who have nothing and have Jesus have got it better than these fat, lazy Americans. Amen? I've been there. I went to Africa and I saw people living in truly mud huts with thatch roofs. And you know what they had? Peace, joy, contentment, and a desire to follow God. And I see these fat, lazy Americans with houses like mine, okay, good rooms, heating, cooling, all the dainties of this life, and we're still not happy with it.
Yeah, yeah. Envying and hateful.
Envying and hateful and strife.
Thankful.
Thanklessness. Thankfulness. Not having anything. Not being grateful for what you got. Amen. I knew I could come up with a word I could pronounce. So those things, that's not what brings grace and goodness. The peace of God. The peace of God comes when I don't desire those things and I can just rest with what God gives me. Little as much when God is in it. For wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. There's a song way back there somewhere. It's tickling around. It'll probably come out in a minute. I'll be in the middle of another verse. I'll just start belting it out. Anyhow, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. That's where you get your gain. Not out of the things of this world. We're not going to get past envy today. Anyhow. I really thought that I was going to get through all three of these. How foolish and lies.
It's okay.
Yes, it is. It's okay. We'll take one at a time. Because we got to conquer this envying in the church. All right? The world's going to envy. The world's going to do that kind of stuff. But we're not supposed to struggle for false gain. We're not supposed to be overly content, you know, with what the world is offering us. If you desire the things of the world, you can gain them, right? I know before I was saved, I made a lot of money before I started walking with God. But I was working 7 days a week. I was always on the job. I had no rest, no peace, no contentment. It was always, I need to work more than I can earn, more than I can get this next thing. And when I got that next thing, you know what? It wasn't what I wanted. I thought I wanted it until I got it. And then you know what? I'd work, I'd struggle, I'd fight, I'd do whatever I had to do to get the next thing because I was coveting, envying what somebody else had. And I can reach that goal, I can struggle until I get there. And when I got there, it was hollow and empty. Again, until I came to the sanctuary of God. Or until the sanctuary of God came to me. And then I learned that all that stuff is going to burn up. So why was I coveting, envying for those things? Why couldn't I be content with whatever the Lord gave me? Because what God gave me, this body of believers here, is better than all the stuff. And I haven't even started talking about heaven yet. You know, because I'm not there. I can't really talk about that. I know that it's there and there's streets of gold and gates of pearl and jasper walls. Oh, praise God, I can read it. I don't understand it, but I can read it. But you know what I have? Is I have the fellowship of believers right here. I got both when I was down hurting with double hernias and surgery and mesh and all that stuff. And you folks prayed for me and you comforted me and you sent cards and you helped. You stood in the pulpit when I could not stand. Oh man, that's worth more than any treasure. to see you guys loving one another, to get in heated debates and still come together with compassion, that is a beautiful thing. I'm content with what God has given us, this building. Is it the so-called Father's house that is built on 78 acres of land and so big that you get lost going to the restroom? Our bathroom's right here. You won't get lost. If you do, there's a light. There's a button in there you can push, and the light flashes, and you'll know that you're lost. We'll send somebody to go get you. But this is good enough. You know why? Because God gave it to us. We didn't shop this. You got some?
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
James in chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every
Amen.
Perfect gift
yes.
is from above and yeah. cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
What was the first one?
Yeah, that one.
I did. Yeah. It's first John.
Yeah.
Or John, James.
That's James, chapter 1.
And so, yeah, again, I'm moving too slow. Because the Holy Spirit is moving in the crowd, and he's bringing these scriptures up that I ought to already be on. Thank you, Jesus.
And
I mean, love this body. You know why? Because the Spirit of God has room to move. And he touches men, and he touches men, and he touches ladies. And he brings the word of God. And to be content with this. Isn't this enough? Isn't this enough?
Yeah.
For me, it is. Why? Because God is here. Okay. I haven't even finished reading this. All right. So let's see if we can get through it. For we brought nothing into this world, verse 7. And it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But where there, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love and patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Live inside of your means. That's where I'm going to go next. Is if you live with inside of your means, you know what? You'll never be a slave to the lender. Thank you. Amen. Live with what you got. God gave you a job. You know, you make X amount of money. Don't spend twice that. Don't spend 1% more than what you bring in. In fact, if you're smart, you spend about 50% less than what you make. Amen. And then you tithe, and then you give to others. You make offerings, and then God fills in the rest. Amen. Isn't that so cool? You know, you live within what God has given you, and be grateful for everything God has given you, and not be coveting over those things that you really that God doesn't want you to have. If God wants you to have it, guess what? You'll have it. And if he didn't want you to have it, guess what? You're better off without it. I have found that to be true in my life. The things that God did not let me have that I wanted. Oh, there's that country and western song. It's either country or western, I'm not certain. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Right? Well, actually, they're answered. The answer was no. Okay. Be content with no. How do you like it? Be content with no. Be content that God says, I know what you need more than what you desire.
Father knows best.
No. Folks, I love you. We're not going to get into bonking or puffed up. And actually, I think we already really did in a real way. Because if we're not concerned about those who are vaunting and those who are puffed up with what they have, if we're content with what we have, let the heathen rage. Let them be all puffed up. Let them do that. I still got to thank the Lord. I still got to come back because the world's doing that. You're not supposed to. Okay? If you're really walking in these attributes of God, you ought not be high and lifted up in your own thought process. Think of James again. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know what God has desired of the old man. Broken and a contrite heart, he will not turn away.
Can I say something? Yes, the Lord brought to me. You were reading about this, and it was talking about with food and raiment to be content. Same thing in Matthew 6.
Amen.
The Son of Man hath no place to lay his head, and the servant is not greater than the master.
Praise God.
Be content with the food and raiment.
And if God so loved the sparrows and he fed them, wouldn't he do that for you? Are you not worth more than a sparrow? Good stuff. We have met the Spirit of God here today.
Amen.
Already.
Amen.
God worked. He had 1, 2, 3 folks that the Lord spoke through. Praise God. Not me. God. Amen. I didn't count me in those three. Okay. But God, moving in the body, be content. With whatever you have, it's enough. You know why? Because God gave it to you. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you can't. He loves you. It's not that he doesn't want you to have... Well, no. He doesn't want you to have things. He wants you to have them. Because it's not about the stuff. It's never about the stuff. I've had stuff. I've had so much stuff that I had to rent storage bins to keep it at. I moved away from that stuff. I don't know what happened to it. I think it's on the storage wars or something. Somebody else went and bid $25 and got all my stuff. Good for them. I have what I need because I have a fellowship of believers. I have a faith in the one true God. And I know that he gives me exactly what I have. So I have no need for anything else. But there's one thing I do covet. That's time alone with Christ.
Him.
I covet a relationship with the one true God. And he covets a relationship with us. He wants us. I want you to want me. Amen. I'm sorry. I love you guys. Next week, we will. We'll get into vaunting and puffed up next week. Amen. But before we got into that, we really had to get it nailed down here to be content with whatever state I'm in. Right here is enough. Because God loves you. He has you in the middle of his hand. He really loves you. And he's given you everything that you need. Notice I didn't say want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But everything you need, you have it.
He gives you some wants, though.
And he does. Mm-hmm. He does give us the desire of our heart.
Our wants.
Amen. He's flying you to Texas. You know, and he didn't even put feathers on. You know?
God gave me a trip to a place I didn't think I'd really get to.
See? Praise God. And I know that we all have testimonies of that. You know, where God just, I love you and I love you, let me just give you that. And he just gives it to you. It's not that I deserve it. Not that I didn't want it. But I wanted it inside of God. And God said, I'll grant that to you. Healing of your granddaughter's coming. Amen. And it's going to happen. Right? It's just one of those things. How do I know? It's just something that the Holy Spirit, God said it. Right? It's just going to happen. And that's okay. You know, I don't know how it's going to happen. I know this. I don't know nothing about heart surgery. But I do know the one who made the heart. I know his indwelling spirit. I know his power. I know his love. I know that he gives you everything you need. So be happy with manna. I don't desire the meat or the leeks of Egypt. But be happy with what you have. It'll be sweet in your mouth. It kind of tastes like coriander and honey. And it will meet every need you have. It'll be just enough for the day. So many things are rolling through my mind. I don't want to stop. But I know I got to. I love you guys. Let's pray. My dear Father, thank you so much for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Dear Father, thank you for the scriptures that you brought out. Father, thank you for the dwelling of the Most High God. Oh, Lord, thank you for the contentment we have, the peace we have. Regardless of what the world says I need, I have you, which is more than I'll ever need. So, Lord, we thank you for your spirit, for your presence, for your love. Mm-hmm. We thank you for the promise of tomorrow, the promise of meeting you someday face to face. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you guys. Square one.